let's stand together as we recite our Calvary Port Acres Creed together. We're on number 7 today. Number 7. Let's say that all together. Ready? We believe in the bodily resurrection of everyone who has lived, the everlasting life of those in right relationship with God, and the everlasting separation of those who have rejected God's forgiveness. Thank you. You may be seated. Sometimes saying some of these are good lessons to learn, but then when you think about them, you think, man, that's kind of a harsh thought to think about, an eternal separation from God. It doesn't sound like a good thing, and it's not. So whenever we talk to people about eternally being separated from Him, we want them to understand what that means and how that goes along. But you can't just do number 7 without number 1 through 6. So make sure you remember all of those because it leads to the last one, right? You can't just go last one and throw the number 7 at them. You got to start with number 1 and work your way through to get them excited about what's going to happen. Amen? All right. Teaching, as I go around and teach, and I used to spend more time traveling the country when we were missionaries and going to pastor conferences and things like that. But as I spend time with people teaching and fellowship and in counseling or just watching people's actions, I love going to the mall or Walmart and just sitting there. The airport's one of the other places as well. You go to the airport and watch people. It's kind of nice. But it's apparent that many of us are not using our time wisely. And nowadays we can go on Facebook and watch stuff. And I think about all these fake news things. And I think someone took the time to make it look like it was real news, but it's fake. It's like, and your time schedule is a little off, you know. They're not using their time wisely. Some use their time, I think, to hide from life. And I get that. Some use their time for all things to fulfill their pride or to satisfy their pride. Some use their time to have a pity party. Woe is me, right? But whatever you do to fill your time, many of us have times that are not spent wisely, including myself. So this is not just I'm perfect and you're not, right? This is all of us, right? No matter what our time is filled with, we need to know this truth. Jesus came to give life, and that life would be more abundant. So when we think about that aspect as kind of the in our background of what we're thinking, that Jesus came to give life and life abundantly, then what does He want us to do with that life that's Him through us? What does He want us to do with our time? So there has to be a better way that we are to live the life that He has given us. There has to be a better way to understand that life. So today we're talking about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. So look at this verse with me, if you would. Ephesians 5:16. It says, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Making the most of the time because the days are evil. Other verses will use the word redeem. Redeem the time because the days are evil. What does redeem the time mean? Well, it means making the most of your time. There are some misconceptions, I think, about time. People say the weirdest things about time. I'm going to give you some phrases that even you've heard people say about time, and you'll think about, if you really think about what the phrase says, and I always think of people that are foreign, they come over here and learn English, and they hear a phrase that we say, and they go, huh? Right? You ever heard someone say, I'm just buying time? How do you buy time? Did you know all the money in the world can't buy you more time? Right? So it's a phrase we say, and it doesn't mean I'm actually literally buying time. It means that, you know, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for the right opportunity. But it sounds funny, doesn't it? I'm just buying time. God controls the time, and we can't buy it. How about this one? I need to make up some time. I need to make up some time. We can't make it either. Right? Again, God's the creator of time. We can't make up time, right? Or this one, I'll make up for lost time. You can't make up for lost time. If it's lost, it's lost. It's already gone. I know there are regrets, and we have not used our time wisely. And we could wish that we could have used our time wisely, but we can't make up for lost time. It's already lost. How about this one? I don't have the time. Right? We can't have time anyway. Time is merely there and going on, whether we think about it or not, whether we have it or not. Right? But isn't it funny that we plan our lives with the things that are important to us? Things that we say that are important, right? So when we say, I don't have the time, typically that means what you're asking me to do isn't as important as what I have. Now, that could be true if someone is busy. Like if you go to a doctor's office and you say, hey, you have some time today. And they go, I don't have the time today. They're busy. I get that. And many times we're at work and you have to say, well, I don't have the time. And I have to say that sometimes when people ask me, hey, can we meet tomorrow? I don't have the time tomorrow. How about next Tuesday or whatever, you know? I'm talking about people that are like, you ask them over and over again, and they never give you a solution of when they can do it. Like, I don't have the time. I don't have the time. I don't have the time. But then they're like, you know, on Facebook for 4 hours, you know, or they're playing video games on their phone. You think, I think you do have the time. I just think you don't want to, right? How about this? Fill my time. I want to fill my time. You can't even fill it, really, because it's already full. It just keeps moving. Time is what it is. It moves at a consistent speed. It doesn't change. The only time it's ever changed is when God said, stop it. Right? Other than that, it just keeps going. It doesn't slow down. I talk with Brother Tim back there all the time about our phones. And my phone is a different time than his phone. And you think, that's crazy. Our time should be the same because our phones are phones and phones get it from the space out there, whatever. And so he'll start something. And I go, man, you're like 2 minutes early. Because my phone said this time, you know. Well, I haven't told him this yet, but I went on my settings of my phone and realized my phones weren't set to automatic. So his is right. Mine was wrong. Mark that down, Tim. You're right. I'm wrong. So I hit auto to change it to auto settings, and also my time changed 2 minutes. I'm like, ah. So now my time's right. It's correct to Tim's, right? But that's the thing is, Tim, time's the same. We many of you know we adopted a daughter, and we would tell her come home at 5:30 for dinner. And so when I mean 5:30, if most parents be out there, or if you say 10 o'clock at coming under your curfew, whatever, don't you mean like in the door, like door shut at 10 o'clock or at 5:30? That's kind of my thought. So that's what I used to teach. You know, I want you in the house, door shut, in the house at 5:30. And so one day we're sitting there and she's not there at 5:30. She's there and we're waiting and waiting and waiting. We know she's out. She's out back playing with some of her friends behind us, and we can see her playing out there. And so we're just kind of keep waiting. And all of a sudden we see her kind of jump up and she runs around the front of the house. She walks in the door. And when she walks in the door, she goes, this is the first thing she says, no lie. She goes, my watch says 5:30. She changed it to fit 5:30 before she walked to the door so she could, but you know, she wouldn't have said that if she hadn't changed it, right? So I'm more smarter than that. So I said, mine says 5:45 and my time's the one that counts. So time just comes, you can't change it, you can't do anything with it, it's just there, right? But God says in His Word to redeem our time. So if we can't buy it or we can't lose it, we can't make up for it, we can't, how do we redeem it? Redeem means to purchase or to compensate for value. So how do I purchase more time? Since we know we cannot actually buy time, what is God actually asking us to do? So I heard it explained this way. He said this, to redeem time means to buy up the time. We could avoid many traps if we were to buy up our spare time and convert our spare time into another kind of time. Time when we turn our thoughts towards the throne of God. So he's saying, use the spare time that you're wasting or that you have extra or whatever, and turning that into something that is valuable. So the time doesn't change, just what you're doing with the time. So to redeem the time literally means to buy for oneself, or an easier way to say it says, make the most of the time you have. To make good use of the time or opportunities that are given to you. So when God says redeem the time, He is saying make good use of the time that you have. That makes sense, doesn't it? Make good use of the time that you have. So redeeming the time really is kind of a Christian concept. It's in the Bible, which converting time to not waste what you have, but use it for the best ability. Now, I know many pastors would say here, this is where they would interject, fill your time with only godly things. Read your Bible, pray, serve, give, whatever, whatever, etc. And they would fill up your time with all this stuff. I don't know if I buy into that. I think hobbies and relaxing and resting are important things for our physical and emotional well-being. So doing those things isn't wasting your time. Right? I think we need downtime. Didn't God say something about a Sabbath day rest? Right? God knew we would need some downtime. It's not like we have to fill our time, like from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, you're just, you know, you're either working or you're doing something for Jesus. And then you go to bed, close your eyes, and you set your alarm, 6:30, gotta read my Bible, gotta pray, you know, and I don't think God necessarily wants us to be so full. I don't think that's even redeeming the time. That's not making good use of your time. Because if you know people like that, they tend to burn out at some point. And they're like, you can't talk to them for 2 weeks because they have to recuperate. Well, now they're wasting their time. If they'd just done it, right, the first time, they wouldn't be burned out, right? And so I think about that. And I think about that with my life. What are some things I do? Now, I don't have to tell you what examples are of you wasting your time. You know what they are. I don't have to go through and say, let's check out Marie's schedule today. And Marie, tell me what you did today and let's write it all down and let's do an audit of your schedule. You know, I don't have to do that. You know what's wasteful and what's just resting. You know what's wasteful and what's a hobby. And you know what's wasteful and just catching your breath. Right? So you know what the difference is. I don't have to go into it in a lot of detail with you. At least I hope not, right? But why is redeeming the time so important? Because of the dominance of evil in the world. Right? Isn't that what the scripture said a while ago? Let's look at that again. Ephesians 5:16, making the most of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. Not because life is fun, there's a lot of things to do, or because you have so much to accomplish and be successful in life, but because of the evil one who creates evil all around us. There is time that needs to be used wisely because of the evil one. Our lives are so exposed to evil, which makes it necessary to make the most of every opportunity to serve in God's kingdom while still relaxing and doing your hobby and still getting rest. We could do both. Ever heard the phrase, idle hands or the devil's playground? Right? And I think when we waste our time, when we are literally doing something that is completely a waste of time, then we're feeding into Satan's destruction of our lives. Now, let me tell you this. Have you ever met someone who filled their time up with godly stuff, and as you look at their life, you realize that even what they're doing is a waste of time? Let me explain this for you. You may read a scripture verse, and you know me, I love to open up scripture and really dive into it and find those little nuggets, whatever, and study it out, and that's great. But you ever met someone that found something like that, and for the next 6 months, that's all they talked about, and they stopped reading the Bible, they started reading like every commentary they could get their hands on that little thing, and they started, you know, watching news reports, and they started, you know, finding everything, and they start bringing it out to you, and that's all they say is like over and over and over again, they're talking about this little thing that they found, and you start thinking, how is that really being productive? And that, first of all, that didn't even make sense to me. And you're spending all that time chasing down something. And isn't that what God said in the Bible? He talked about that if we use our time for Him in a proper way, but we can use our time for Him in a not so proper way. Or how about someone as this who thinks because they have to clean the kitchen and they have to clean the house when Jesus is visiting. And she's running around cleaning, right? Was she doing something for God? Yeah, in her mind she was, but really what she's doing? Just wasting that time where she could have been sitting at the feet of Jesus. So we can be doing things that look spiritual but aren't technically good for our lives. So serving in His kingdom is usually associated with doing good works, a drudgery servant stuff. But we can serve in His kingdom by mowing someone's yard and enjoying it and having fun in it. Right? You can serve in His kingdom by doing a hobby that you love to do for others. I mean, there's lots of ways that you can do things that are still fun, and we don't have to be like, oh, I got to go to church this morning early because I got to clean, or, you know. And it's like, that's really just wasting time. You're not doing it in the right heart. You're wasting time. It's not redeeming the time. It's not making good use of your time if you're doing the wrong thought. So think about all that while we're looking at these verses here today. I've got a lot of verses that are going to go through. Brother Tim's going to enjoy that today. So listen to this verse and tell me if we're not up against some evil. Ephesians chapter 6:12 says, "For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." All the battles we face are truly not physical battles, but are spiritual battles. They may seem physical, but the real war is going on in the spiritual realm. Here is a great verse to explain what we're doing at that time. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says this: "Yes, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." When I was over in Israel, we went to this little place and they were making these little oil lamps. And I have one in my office. You can look at it. And little small little clay lamps, and they put oil in it, and it has a little wick, and it lights up whatever. And they would take these little things, and they're small, and they put them all over the house. They would build their houses with little holes in the wall, little nooks, niches or whatever, you know. And so that way their house was lit up with these little oil lamps everywhere. And over time, the oil would kind of seep out because of the porous clay, and it would almost become like a sealed thing because the oil would just kind of gel it together, basically. So these are their little lamps that they would have. And so you can imagine in your mind taking one of these and putting them in a dark room. So like today we have lights outside. And if you ever had the electricity go out in the city and you walk outside, you're like, oh, I didn't realize it was so dark out there. Right? Because there's always lights in the city. But if you go in your house and the lights are off outside and all the windows are shut and it's pitch black and you bring in just a little small little candle, and you put it up high on some place of height, even like on a candlestick on the middle of a table or something like that, and the whole room lights up and you can see it. So that's when you picture on this, up on a candlestick in the middle of the room, right? It says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do men light a candle and put under a basket." That would be kind of ridiculous, right? But on a candlestick, right, in the middle of the room, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Only takes one light, one little candle, and it lights up the whole room, and you can function and do pretty much anything you want to do other than read. I found that that's hard reading in a candle like that because my eyes aren't good anymore. But, so we should redeem the time because there are less opportunities to share Christ's love each day that passes. We need to set our candle up on that hill, up on that candlestick. Another verse puts it this way: "Today is the day because we do not know what tomorrow brings. This is the time." 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Look, now is the accepted time. Look, now is the day of salvation." So these timing of what God is saying, there are times where there's this evil time, and if we don't redeem the time, if we don't make good use of our time, there's people out there that today's the day that they need to hear about the gospel. So I want you to think about that. How are ways that we can share the candlestick, the light to the world, and enjoy it, and still rest, and still use our hobbies, and still do those things for God's kingdom? How can we allow our lives to be part of that? Yes, in resting and still taking the break times we need to, but still thinking about there are people that need to see that candle lit up. Amen? James 4:14 says this: "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, what is your life? It is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Now, I could go around the room and find out who the oldest person here is. I have an idea that they're kind of back in that area. But we can ask who the oldest person is in this room. And I guarantee if you ask them and you say, did your life seem like a long time or does it seem like it's short? They'll say, wow, it just seemed like it just flew by. You know, I'm 80 and it seems like just yesterday I was 30. You know, it just flies by. We don't know what tomorrow's going to be, and our time is but a vapor. And we think about it. We live our lives 100 years, 110 years on this earth. If you're fortunate to live that long, that is just a vapor, a blink of an eye to eternity. So we take that and figure that out, and how our time is used, time passes by. In fact, I think about this. It was just yesterday. It was January. This COVID-19 stuff started creeping in the news January and February time. A whole bunch of people in February saying, no, come on down to Chinatown. Everything's fine. Don't wear a mask. It's awful. Don't wear a mask. And in March, they're saying, stop, halt. Everything shut down. We're all going to die. And it just seems like that was yesterday. It was February. And we're July. We're mid-July almost. July 12th. We're almost mid-July. It'll be August. Blink an eye. It'll be Christmas time. Right? It just keeps going. Time seems like they're flying by. Here's some thoughts about time, if you think about what goes on in time. In a lifetime, the average American will spend 6 months sitting at stoplights. Now, what do you do when you're in the stoplight and you're waiting? You're getting mad at the light, mad at the person next to you, or you're watching the guy next to you pick his nose. I mean, what are you doing? Right? 8 months of opening junk mail. I believe that one, right? 1 year looking for misplaced objects. Now, my wife will tell you this. I'll look for a little bit, and I'll get mad at her because she's not looking enough for me. And I'll go, why aren't you helping me? You know. But at some point, I just kind of go give up, and I'm like, okay, let's just move on. We'll find it later, you know, because unless it's your car keys, you have to have them. But 1 year looking for misplaced objects. 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls. Think about that one. 4 years of doing housework. I'm assuming that's for the ladies because I don't do 4 years of housework. 5 years of waiting in line for anything. 5 years of your life is waiting in line. Think about that. Right? 6 years eating. Not like that one. But the one that shocked me the most was 21 years of watching television. I was like, wow, that's a lot of television watching. So the question then has to ask, how do we redeem the time? How do we purchase time, make it more valuable? How do we make good use of our time? One way is to be alert and ready to be used in His kingdom. Ephesians 5:14 says this, therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, I know that when we think about that, it's talking about the lost. They're lost, they're asleep, they're dead, right? And Christ is going to wake them up. But think about any Christians that seem like they're asleep. They come to church Sunday morning, and sometimes they sleep through Sunday morning. And then they don't think about really God or do anything for the rest of the week. And they come back Sunday morning again, and they fall asleep again in church. Then they think about God for another week, you know. So most Christians, I'm going to say this. Most people who claim to be Christians, let's use that a better term, I think they're that way. I think if you look at American church today and all denominations, I think most people who claim to be Christian are Sunday morning, give me an hour, if you get me out sooner, even better. And then we don't think about God for the rest of the week. So awaken, right? Realize the filling of the Holy Spirit that you have and be filled with the Spirit in another way. So we think of ways we could do that. Be alert and be ready for His kingdom. Number two is realize that you're underneath the Holy Spirit's direction. Be led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let God lead you. And won't God lead you to fill your time up with things that He desires if you let Him? I mean, He's more likely wanting you to redeem the time than you are. So say, hey, God, I've got a couple hours this afternoon, and here's some things I'd like to do, and I'd like to do them for Your kingdom, but You just lead me and help me out. Hey, God, when I'm sitting in my car for 5 days at the red light. Give me some things to think about. Give me some people to pray about. God, while I'm sitting waiting in line, have my eyes open and my ears open to helping people around us. You ever go wait in line at Walmart? The whole time you're there, you're just like, don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I just don't want to hear you. I'm going to pretend like you're not even there. I like to listen to what they're saying. So if they're talking loud enough, I'll just listen to the whole conversation. And sometimes they leave and I'm like, wait, stop. I need to hear the rest of that conversation. I want to know what Johnny did. He didn't fill that in. But sometimes I'm listening and I hear that them having some struggles, whatever. You know, I didn't mean to overhear, but I heard you're all trouble. Can I pray with you? I mean, these are some things you think about. God, allow me these opportunities when I have all this time that I can't help but waste it because I'm waiting in line to buy groceries. I got to do it, you know. But how can I fill that time with good things, right? If you know Christ is your Savior, then you know that He'll lead you to that time if you do. If you don't know Christ your Savior, maybe today, redeeming the time, maybe today, today's the day of salvation. But we also redeem the time by fellowshipping. And a lot of people don't catch this. They think fellowshipping is a waste of time. I'm telling you, when you come to church early, when you come here early and you get to hang out with people and fellowship with people, and you hang out afterwards, you talk with people, and hopefully soon we'll have some potluck dinners, and we can get back together and do some of that stuff. But when you do that, that is like food for your soul. In fact, Ephesians 5:18 says this, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, you know, we think about this, singing, making melody in your heart, but the idea is not just for you. It's to others. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the heart to the Lord. Not just for yourself, but literally with others to others. So this time when we get together beforehand, we're talking to each other, we're having fellowship, and then we get to worship and sing together. This is wonderful, beautiful time that God has given us. And so if you don't get to do that, if you're, you know, through this time, I think that's one of the things we've missed out through this pandemic time. And some people are still missing out on this, that because they're not able to come yet. But when we started coming back together, that's one thing we missed out. This whole verse was not able to be used. Because you couldn't talk with people. You couldn't sing with people. You couldn't worship with people. In fact, there's some states that are saying churches can't sing at all because they think the smoke out of your mouth gets further when you sing or something. I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know. I don't know about smoke, but you know what I mean. Well, not smoking, but the mist, the spittle, whatever. Man, that's just, God says this, and He says, do it with one another. And if we miss that, right? Then that's something that's being missed. Hebrews 10 says this, and let us consider how to spur one another to love and to good works. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but let us exhort one another, especially as you see the day approaching. The same thing, that the evilness of the day, there's a time that God is saying, there's an urgency that He's talking about. Now, in my old days, I used to use this and say, this verse is telling you that you better be in church every time the doors open or you're going to hell. Maybe I didn't say it that strongly, but that was the idea. Don't forsake. It's a sin not to come to church. And then I realized that's not really what the verse is saying. The verse is saying, when you come together, you should do it often. And we've been missing this again during this pandemic time. And those that are still watching online are still missing this opportunity to come and gather together. Why? Right? To spur one another in love and good works. That's why those who are still not able to come back, I say, get in line and talk about it. Put some notes and comments while you're doing it. That way you're spurring each other to love and good works still while you're going on. Let us not forsake together. Why? To exhort one another. We should come to church, not just, I said this the other day, not for ourselves. Like, why come to church for me? No, we should come to church to exhort each other, to spur each other on to love, spur each other on to good works, to encourage each other that we're going to be using this time together properly. Ephesians 5:20. To be thankful. That's another reason why we should make good use of our time. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, you think about that. Giving thanks always. So if you ever have a time where you're sitting there having a pity party and you're kind of like, oh, life is horrible, life is, whatever. Technically, that's wasting your time, right? Because he says, give thanks always. Giving thanks always and all time, right? When we think of giving thanks always to all things. So when we are sitting there and having that little pity party and we're, for 2 weeks, I don't want to talk to anybody because, I'm not enjoying hanging out with people and I don't want people to see me and whatever. And, because we're focused on all the problems we're having. And we think, wow, if we just get together to help others and sing with others and exhort one another and encourage them to love, encourage them to good works. But then thanking God when we have time where we can't get together and just have that little time of 15, 20 minutes where we have downtime and our mind starts going in the wrong direction. Bring it back up and go, okay, God, my mind's going the wrong direction here. Thank you for what I have. And just start going around the house and thanking God for all the things you have. You ever hear the word time management? We should have good time management. If you've been in business long enough, you'll hear that. Great buzzword, time management. Post-it notes, to-do lists, and checklists, and calendars, and appointment books, and electronic organizers, and the old Franklin Day planners. Remember those? they all require you to assign priorities, clarify values, set goals, plan your day. I am the king of that kind of stuff. I loved it. I love having a day planner back in the day. I was one of the first ones to have a Palm Pilot because I love to organize my time. And as soon as phones started having calendars on them, I'm like, yes! And like everything, I have like five calendars and for this activity, the next activity, I'm like, oh, I love that kind of stuff, right? Time management. Right? It's seen as a solution to help us handle time, but time management is really a myth. I've learned that in my life. I cannot manage time. I want to slow down a little bit today, and then at 3 o'clock, I want to speed it up. You can't manage time. It keeps on slipping into the future. Let me all get that later. No matter how you think or manage it, it just keeps going. It's interesting that when we look at the Bible, we do not find a lot of emphasis on saving time or managing time. Now, we're called to be good stewards of everything that God has given us, and that includes our time. But it's not managing time or managing our opportunities. When we redeem the time that God is directing us, rather than being called good time managers, we're called good opportunity managers. When we have an opportunity to do something as God would lead us and direct us in our life. As a pastor, one of the things I had the hardest time with was, quote, time management. Because I would have on my schedule at 10 o'clock, this is going to happen. And then someone would call me and say, I'm in the hospital. I'm like, how do I do that? I have it on my schedule that this is supposed to happen. This is not on my schedule. This is breaking my time management. How am I going to get this done? And you can ask my wife. I really struggled with that a lot because I like to have my calendar scheduled, and now I got to go to the hospital. That's just threw my whole day off. And I would say that. This just threw my whole day off, And then I started realizing the times where I went to the hospital and I thought I was ministering to someone. They were ministering to me. And it was times where I got to be alone with someone in the hospital and pray with them, and they would pray with me. And I go, mess anything up. That time management thing is what messed it up. I shouldn't have worried about that kind of stuff. Now, yes, I do try to schedule certain things and try to be wise with my scheduling. I think we all should be good stewards of that. We have schedules that we set, but Pastor Nick and I and the office staff will say, this is what we're doing, but if something comes up, we change it because we can't sit there and be so on a schedule. We have to do this at this time. But then something comes along, and it's like, well, let's just change it. Something's going on in your life? Don't worry about it. Let's just change it. We'll just do it some other time. And we have to be able to be flexible with that, but be willing to allow God to lead us through that. I like the saying that I once saw, it's not just counting the minutes, hours, days, months, and years, but making the minutes, hours, days, months, and years count. It's not counting the minutes, hours, and days, But making the minutes, hours, and days count. Make it count in your life. Every one of us has had missed opportunities in our lives. There have been stocks we should have invested in, the job we should have taken, the pass that we should have caught in football, the relationship we should have nurtured, and most importantly, the lost opportunity to share Christ. And I think about that in my life, how many times I didn't go, like God was leading me to go talk with someone, and I'm like, no, I don't have the time. And that still in my head goes, oh, 20 years later, I think, oh, that's horrible. Why did I do that? I wish I could have that opportunity to go back and change. I can't. I can't make up for lost time, can I? I think of myself who didn't become a Christian and surrender to God's ministry in my life until after I was 30 years of age. And I thought, what if I had done it when I was 15? Where would I be at now? I can't make up for lost time. But I want to make all the time that I have now count. We've all had those opportunities. We can't go back and reclaim those moments. So why are we wasting our time worrying about it? And that was one of the things I had to think about. I was spending time worrying about the time I lost. Now, if that wasn't a waste of time, spending time worrying about the time I lost, now I'm losing this time. And now I'm going to be over here spending time thinking about this time I lost and thinking about this time I lost. Maybe I should just stop thinking about the time I lost and just make every minute, every day, every hour count moving forward. And I find that I feel, one, much more peace about in my life, but two, I accomplish more for His kingdom in my life. So how are we handling this precious gift of time that God has given us? Are we still saving it or managing it or redeeming it? Or are we really truly putting it in the time where we say, I'm redeeming the time, I'm making good use of the time that God gives me? Look, don't get stuck on the lack of time you have. People say that all the time. Well, my life is very busy. I have this going on. I have four kids and I have this going on. And, you know, my life is very busy. Don't get stuck in all that. Just focus on the opportunities that God gives you every day within those busyness. If you're at work and you're busy, how is God allowing you to work and minister and worship Him in the middle of that busyness? If you're a parent and have, or a grandparent and you have kids you're taking care of during the day, how is God using you in that time to minister to those kids and minister to those around you? And so think about that. I may be busy. I know I've talked with a lot of people that as they retire, they get older. It's like I was working 8 to 5 and then retired. And I thought I'd have some rest time, but now I'm at the doctor's office 8 to 5. Right? And I know our time schedule, and we don't get to make our time. It's kind of like doctor pretty much tells you when to be there. You got to be there and you got to wait for his schedule, right? But then while you're doing that, how are you ministering to those around you? How are you allowing God to minister to you at that time? So don't get stuck on how busy you are. Focus on the opportunities that God does give you. One day our time on earth will come to an end. And we'll wonder how we did all that we did. And we'll wonder, did I use the time that God gave me wisely? Paul said this, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So I'll ask it again. Have you taken advantage of every opportunity that God sends your way? Are you redeeming the time? The answer for most of us, including myself, honestly, is no. Right? But we can waste some more time worrying about that we're not doing it and getting upset or feeling guilty about it. Or we can look forward to say, okay, I'm ready today. I want to do a better job today. God, I want you to live through me today. God, I want you to guide my life and live through me so others can see you and every opportunity that's out there today moving forward. Christ came to give his life and life more abundantly. And so go out those doors today and live in Christ every minute of the days that he has that's left for us. We don't know whether we're going to go out those doors and we're going to have 30 seconds left to live, or when we go out those doors, we're going to have 30 years left to live, or when we go out those doors, we're going to have 60 years left to live. We don't know. But when we go out those doors, be ready to live every second, every part of your life for God's glory and letting him to show you, hey, relax right now. Hey, do some hobbies right now. Hey, take some rest right now. Hey, today right now, you see that lady over there? Go help her. Let God lead you in those things, and he will. I promise you. He took a day of rest. He told us to take a day of rest. He'll lead us when it's time to work, and he'll lead us when it's time to rest. So remember that. And it's funny because I have a message coming up that says resting in Jesus. So it'll be interesting to see how these two play out. Because they're not contradictory to each other. They're complementary to each other. Amen. Go in Christ, church, and have a blessed week. Let me pray with you this morning.